I tell you, an image is so hard to build in this day. I'm not about to lose what little I have by fooling around with a guy like you. I don't know what you're talking about. But now I don't discount the intelligence that comes in this thing. We get letters and stuff from guys like him. We've had letters from junior high school people giving new ways of holding antimatter in a magnetic field. We have to take the things out to Caltech and say, what's this kid saying? let me check it, and I promise you, we'll have our check advisor look it over, and what we can learn from it and profit from it, we will. Thank you very much. He's referring to the fact that we said earlier that if the movie is a success, we think, without any doubt, from what from our discussions with television executives, we will come back to television in 90 minutes or 2 hours, Star Trek specials, a number of them every season. He wants to know when that be released. I think if the movie is a success, we will either return immediately to television or we might make a couple of more movies. So at this time, there's no way we can give you a timetable. But if the movie is a success, and we hope it will be, and we'll fight hard to make it that, you will be having in one form or another from then on more Star Treks, and that pleases all of us who are involved in Star Trek.
In the book Forever War, the writer Joe Baldwin, he showed this effect of traveling at the speed of light. The time went by slowly for people on the ship. That something like, you live out 2 months, 2 months on a ship would be 100 years in real time, in our time. My question is, could they show some small difference, say, in the system back on Earth as Star Trek comes out of war, and then the Enterprise comes out of war, something like that?
Yeah, we had a lot of discussions about that when we were first laying out the series, out of the whole area of the fact that as you approach the speed of light, relative time for you and time on Earth or wherever you left is greatly changed. And you can go on seems to you a relatively short space trip, but you can come back and everyone you know is dead and you're dealing with your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. And no one knows what would happen if you exceed the speed of light. But what we decided to do in the series, since we could say so slavishly close to science that really the thing becomes a scientific document and it's not an entertainment thing, and we wouldn't have been able to hold an audience, we decided to ignore, and it's an excellent question he asked, we decided to ignore the whole relativity thing in a passage of time. Otherwise, our series would have become impossibly complex. And so we decided, there were some times we had to decide whether to give you interesting, understandable drama with moral issues and so on, or whether to get real complex into science. We decided to go for human values and moral issues rather than make it always a scientific document.
James, I'd like to know whether or not Mike is going to rise
and draft for possibly in the future coming to movie and episodes later on TV number 1 is in the bridge. There are always a number of troublemakers here who remember every word I've said and call me on it later.
I'd like to know, Mr. Roddenberry, if you feel...
sort of cycle this now, just because your husband is so famous, and especially the role of Nurse Chapel wasn't
I think it wasn't involved in school.
That seems to be a consensus opinion. I'm hoping that they'll do something about it in the next trip. No, I don't feel excited. There's only one star in the family.
I'd like to answer that. We were not married until after the series was over, and we were just going together in those days. And my point that I made at the time, and I stick to, is if I had given a large role to every girl that I was fooling around with in those days, there would have been no time for the rest of the characters. So. We kid each other a lot, but this is a real and true love affair.
Yes.
When they quoted me in the Fed House interview saying that this is my best friend, this is true, and may you all be so lucky in your friendships and marriages.
I really love the part of just being Mrs. Roddenberry most of the time. I like to play golf. I like to do things that are just kind of fun for me to do. I love our child, and I also love the business. I love to appear on stage. I love to perform. But if somebody said to me, you've got to have one or the other, there are no questions in my mind as to what I would say.
You take the stage.
No.
Mr. Roddenberry, according to your biography, it says for 4 years you were a pilot for Pan Am. And it says during this period you were awarded the highest commendation by the Civil Aeronautics Authority for heroic action following a disaster involving a commercial plane on the India-Istanbul run, to which yourself and several others were the only survivors. Could you tell us what this is about?
Well, my heroic action largely consisted of running around in pure fear and panic. And they decided later that fear and panic had directed me in the right direction. But really, there's no such thing as heroism. I was scared to death during the whole thing. The main fear I had as we were going down was, as I was announcing to the people how to put their heads in their pillows and so on, that they might see how badly my knees were knocking and panicked themselves. I was only that far from it. There is no such thing. I fought in the war too, and I tell you, there is no such thing as heroism. There's some instances of stupidity, but there is no heroism.
Gene's been down 3 times in a plane that's never set. But that particular time, he really got out by the scruff of his head in more ways than one. The things that found him fell in love with him.
That's true. The scaredness I was not crashing. Some Arabs that came to help us, the sheikh of the tribe, fell in love with me and kept feeling my leg. And I know how a girl feels on a date now, because I was so scared I refused to do anything but smile back at him. I may have gotten the medal for that.
You're getting a little large question. If you're given a large bus of 8 weight, about 4 hours to work, you try to interaction with the generation and culture that is large and more diverse than the whole
country. You do have, I've had about 6 foundations, the foundation trilogy, and between the Federation and the Foundation.
There was no feeling of comparing the two or treating one off the other. Although I should say that I'm a real nutty fan of Isaac Asimov at the Foundation. I think he is a great man and a great writer. If I was going to steal from someone, he would be among my first choices.
In the movie, one of the things I had, will there be any future in the romance between Mr. about the Miss Chapman.
But in the movie, are they learning what?
In the movie or anything else in the future?
Well, in the movie, as it originally, as Jean wrote it, actually, Nurse Chapel gets to make love to Mrs. Buck.
Bring her up, have no husband.
I hit the 7-year cycle, but if they don't use it, I don't know what's going to happen.
Manuel is no different from a lot of female fans. In her heart of hearts, she says to herself, yes, but I could make you feel. Yeah.
What other TV shows did you write for before Star Trek?
What other TV shows? I started off in some terrible television shows that I don't even know if they still rerun them, made by Ziv, called Mr. District Attorney, Highway Patrol. Thank God they had those shows around then, because a lot of us learned to write on those shows. I fortunately did my writing on them under a false name, because I was a police officer at the time, and it was called Moonlight. But then, having learned to write, I did have the good fortune to go on and do things like Playhouse 90, Azure Aluminum Hour, Goodyear Theater, Jane Wyman Theater, and so on. All in all, I wrote for about 60 different television shows before Star Trek came along.
Mr. Roddenberry, in the Starfleet technical manual, there's an inside shot of Starship, the Dreadnought there. Do you intend using that in the movie or any of the upcoming series?
No, the Dreadnought, I don't intend to use it. It isn't one of my designs. I think most of what he's done in there is good. The Dreadnought to me is an abortion, and I just don't intend to have anything to do with it. But I think most of it is good and clever work by a very intelligent and talented man. I just don't happen to like that particular one. It's phased out. As of now, Starfleet Command tells you the Dreadnought has been phased out.
There was an article in the newsletter, one of the fan clubs, about a subject documentary that you all made in England. And I wanted to know your opinion of it and what your opinion was before and then after you made the documentary. What are we going to do?
The question has to do with a research I was doing on a film on psychic phenomena. I should tell you that I am generally a disbeliever. My attitude is I will believe what I see and have verified. When these people came to me and asked me to do a film on psychic phenomena, I said, I'm not a propagandist for any particular set of beliefs. I will write about anything I see and that I personally can verify. As a result, they put up the money for me to travel around the country and Europe and watch psychic experiments. I saw many things that were patently phony. I also, however, went to places like Stanford Research Institute and Clee Baxter's labs in San Diego and to some studies that were being done at Oxford in England. And I did see some things that were quite exciting that convinced me that there are certain latent powers that we have in areas of perhaps telepathy, perhaps in areas of being able to see the future. And I think it's most fascinating, and I intend to continue the research and sometime do a motion picture script on it. But there, as I said at the beginning, and this is just part of it really for me, is that we are quite phenomenal creatures. I think probably that many of these things that now are talked about as psychic really come out of the fact that we are, that there is a oneness, that we all are somehow a part of each other, that it is not a superstitious or psychic thing. It's something that science will someday learn to understand and measure, just as they, just as once they, when this Pasteur fellow came along and said that disease is caused by all these little invisible bugs that are crawling around you, everyone said you're crazy. Ultimately, they found them in the microscope, and he was right. I think that ultimately we are going to find that there are certain abilities now that we label psychic, which we don't control totally, which really have a scientific, which are scientifically measurable. It's just a case of somebody learning to measure and use them.
Yes, Gene, I saw a TV show last night about UFOs with Leonard Nimoy. And there was a fellow on there who claimed in the past 3 months that he was abducted 4 days aboard a UFO. I want to know what your feelings were about it.
I didn't see the program. I wanted to. My feeling about UFOs is that I have not seen any. I've not verified any. Many of you heard me in the earlier talk. I said I hope they're true because I think we can use all the help we can get right now. I think that it's quite possible that there could be, but I think probably our universe is teeming with life. And it would be really the most remarkable coincidence of all time if this is the only place that it happens. Whether or not they will contact us, I have many doubts, because I think that on the surface that any intelligence capable of interstellar travel is probably so advanced beyond really the infancy of our race now, that really they wouldn't have that much to talk to us about.
I want to ask basically just a report on the baby.
Baby, as of last evening, had no temperature, he's fine now, he's much better. He had an ear infection, which he never did. But boy, if I had an ear temperature.
He's much more important, though, that he is a ham. He was 14 months old when they had the Equicon out in California. They asked us to take us down there, and we brought him up on stage, and people rushed forward and began flashing cameras at him, and we thought, oh my God, what have we done? It'll scare the life out of him. No, he takes after his mother. He turned toward the cameras and the flashes and left.
Go up and get it. Nobody would get it for him. He brings it back down and says, I know